And so let's be encouraged by God's holy word tonight. May this, of course, not just, you know, not just to be preached at, but may this really prime our hearts and be reminded of the love and the benevolent intent of our blessed God. Title of tonight's message, Made for You, Made for You, for us, all right, Made for You. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. We'll start there. Of course, God gives blessings. We know that. And what a joy that God gives blessings. And what God makes, He makes to be a blessing to us. But we, man, in this case the Pharisees, really have a tendency to view and to turn God's blessings into burdens. And so this is kind of an encouragement, a reminder for us tonight. God's motives are always good and pure and true to us as His children. And praise God, He gives us, He makes blessings for us, He gives blessings to us. And the example we're going to look at tonight, first the Sabbath. This is the picture, you know, that's the example in the scriptures, the Sabbath. But really, you can line it up with any commandment, okay? As God told him, the fourth commandment, to keep the, you know, to observe the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath. And so really looking at the Sabbath, but the application is to really any commandment from God, and then prayer, and then even hardship. So let's go to Mark chapter 2. We'll start there. Mark chapter 2. Again, God intended it for a blessing, but leave it up to man to view it and then turn it into a burden. That's not what God intended. And so again, not just to the Sabbath, that's the example here, but the application is to really all of God's commandments. God gives us His commandments as an expression of His love. It's not for us, may we not view it and then turn it to a, oh, it's a burden. No, that's not what God intended. It's meant to be a blessing, and it is a blessing. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, and then verse 23, we'll start there. Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and so, you know, familiar passage. We read the word of God here says, and it came to pass that He went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and His disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto Him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And He said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And He said unto them, the Sabbath was not made for man. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. What a blessing. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a joy to be in Thy house even tonight, Lord. And Father, I thank You for Your precious, precious word that it reveals Your, you know, not just Your will, but Father, as we read more and learn more about Your will and Your heart, what a comfort that Your heart and mine is towards us, that You are such a gracious and benevolent God, that You make blessings for us, that You give us blessings. May we truly receive them as You intend. May we not consider them burdens. And Father, we pray even tonight, Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay. Nourish us from Your word, Father. We do lift up those in need, those that are hurting, those that need healing. I thank You, Father, for the faithful saints that came out tonight. And bless now this time the preaching of Thy holy word. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, a passage of the specific to the Sabbath again, but really the application is to really any of God's commandment for sure. Okay. And in this example here, of course, like any of God's commandment, if we misapply it, if we misunderstand it, you know, can certainly be viewed as a burden to us. Oh, why does God want me to do this? Or why does God want me not to do this? Oh, why is this? It's just such a burden. Of course, we understand way back in the Old Testament, God gave the Sabbath as a commandment to Israel to be a blessing, okay? If anyone would ask me, hey, do you want another day off? Or do you want a day off? Like, yeah, sign me up. Hey, can we have three Sabbaths? Okay. God gave it to be a blessing. You don't have to work, you get a day off, you know, and again, back in the Old Testament, it's like, I'll give you, it's okay, God thought of it, He'll double your yield, you get double manna on Friday, you know, and so God thought of everything, it was wonderful, it was a wonderful blessing. However, leave it up to man, in this case the Pharisees, okay, but certainly we can all have these tendencies to view and then turn, twist what God gave us, a blessing, to a burden. Because you fast forward all these years till now, Jesus' time, okay, and the Sabbath had turned from perhaps the most looked forward to day. You know, you're working out in the field, you're laboring. Like, oh, praise God, tomorrow's the Sabbath, I get to rest. So, you know, okay, from the most, like a weekend, how it was looked at, you know, the most looked forward to day, day that they would look forward to possibly the most dreaded day. Okay, because in the time of Jesus, it was so twisted and so corrupted with man adding to God's word that you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this. And so when the Sabbath came, it was such a pins and needle day. It was everyone, all right, I can't even imagine if we were living in those times, okay? Remember to put some context, okay? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're always sad, you see, all right? Okay, I can't help it. Okay, but the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the high priests, they all got into cahoots, and they have the Sanhedrin, which is a Jewish council. The Jewish council had absolute authority over all the religious matters in the Jewish people. And because the Jewish people, the lives of a Jewish person is inseparable from their religion, the Sanhedrin council really had say over anything and everything a Jewish person would do. If you were caught, someone reported you that, hey, that so-and-so wasn't doing this, or they broke this law, they would dispatch the temple guards. They would come and call you. You get summoned, you know, before the council, and then they try you. If they felt like it, they can catch you in prison. I mean, so it can get pretty stressful. And so they had all these rules of what you can and cannot do that they added to God's word on the Sabbath. And I can't even imagine if we were a Jewish family living back in, you know, Bible days, you'd be like, all right, kids, today is day 6. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. All right, everyone, make sure you don't do this. You know, Johnny, yesterday, you know, last week, I saw you, you almost got caught, you know, and it was a very stressful day. You know, it's walking on eggshells, you know. And so they turned what God intended as a blessing to a burden. And so that's horrible. Now again, the context for us again is, well, you know, God wants us to assemble in church. That's a blessing. It's not a burden. It's not a burden. Okay, God wants us to pray. Okay, that's a blessing. I mean, we'll go through that list. Okay, but you get the idea. Okay, and so here, the example, of course, they're eating, and you know, I don't want to take too much time on this, you know, but God told in the Old Testament, He said, you know, hey, when you glean from your fields, you know, when you reap your harvest, if some fall, let it fall, it's okay. And God told him to intentionally cut corners. That's for the poor people, the traveling, those that need it, which is what the disciples are doing here. And they're just eating. Okay, by the way, it is completely lawful to eat on the Sabbath. Okay, don't work as in, you know, for a job, okay, but completely fine eating. But of course, leave it up to man saying, oh, that means you can't even pluck anything. Okay, because if you pluck it, that's work. Okay, they weren't working, they were just eating. The disciples were just eating, it's okay to eat. And so Jesus, of course, doesn't condone sin, but this is not sin. The idea is they've taken what God meant as a blessing, made it a burden. And in fact, exactly what the disciples are doing here is what God allowed in the Old Testament for the poor, for the widows. That's what Ruth did. She gleaned off Boaz's fields to show his love. Because God's commandment is to draw us closer to Him. God's commandment, when we follow, make us act more like Him. Okay, it's to show that God is love. Okay, and He is holy, but to show His love. And so it's completely taken out of context here, and they misunderstand that. And so the example here, same thing. David, that Jesus uses the example of David. Jesus is rebuking them. He says, "Hey, David was the chosen king to succeed Saul. You know, and when the men that followed David." They honored God by honoring David and sticking it out with David, even though they were branded enemies of the state. They became criminals. They were wanted men. And so now they're all in the same boat, and they're all, you know, to be killed, you know. And so they cast a lot in. The right thing for David to do was to take care of them, feed them. And so he gave them the showbread, which is, you know, supposed to be a no-no. But God did not rebuke David for that. It's because the emphasis is doing what's right. And it was love. It was of necessity. And then Jesus follows up, because what happens if when God says something, and then when the Pharisees add to what God is saying, the Pharisees were saying, now we are lords of the Sabbath. You know, because God said it, we're going to cover up what God said with our laws, superseding God's laws. And Jesus said, no, I made the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, not you guys. And so he says, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And then when you go to verse 1 of chapter 3, this is, again, another application. Look at verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Okay, and so another example. And they watched him. Man, these guys from the from the woodwork, they're spying on Jesus, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. They knew he had a tendency to heal regardless of day. And so that, oh, we're going to catch him in the act, you know, and You can just imagine all the Pharisees, I don't know, they're there, they're hiding behind the pews with their phones out. You know, I'm going to post this right away of Jesus doing this healing. It's going to go viral. You know, and they want to catch him in the act, quote unquote, sinning, okay, breaking the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Of course, when God says don't work, my friends, when we understand the purpose and the character of God, that God is love. When God says don't work on the Sabbath, obviously God never intended to mean stop being a good guy. Stop being a caring Samaritan, okay? Stop being, stop loving your neighbor, okay? Everyone, tomorrow's the Sabbath, can't work, so tomorrow don't love your neighbor. You know, obviously God doesn't say that, and he doesn't mean that. And so, of course, Jesus is not condoning sin, and Jesus is not saying you can sin sometimes if the circumstances, no, that's not what he's saying about, but he's saying that they have twisted what God gave as a blessing and made it a burden. So when they broke their laws, it appears that they were sinning, but they weren't, okay? In fact, it was their man-made added laws that caused people to sin, because now they, oh, I can't help you, my brother. It's the Sabbath, okay? You broke down, I'm sorry, I can't help you. No. Even Jesus calls it the Pharisees, because they're hypocrites, right? Even if your own oxen falls in the pit, they what? They get them out. A man child is to be circumcised 8 days. If it happens to be 8 days after they were born and that was on the Sabbath, guess what? They still did it. Okay, so obviously you can tell God is saying the Sabbath don't work is in the context of working, not in anything else. Don't cease to be a loving neighbor, okay? Don't cease to honor God just because it's the Sabbath, okay? And so Jesus is showing this. He says here, and when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. By the way, I'm so thankful that even though man turns the blessing of God into a burden, God still here blesses. Cuts through the burden, it's a blessing. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Oh, he couldn't stand it. Oh, we got to get this guy. But it's a blessing because Jesus came, of course, to deliver us, to save us, to free us. Amen. But just number one, be mindful. God's commandments are for us not just to obey. Yeah, we ought to obey God's commandments, but they are not just for us to obey. God's commandments are for us to be blessed. He desires us to be blessed by his commandments, not to be burdened. It's an expression of God's love. Okay, God says, yes, love our neighbor, forgive one another. Hey, the blessing, I don't get bitter, you know, right? I'm joyful. God says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hey, we get edified by the house of God, in the house of God. God tells us to give. Guess what? It's given unto us. If you give, it's given unto you. I get blessed. God tells me to read my Bible, right? Well, I get nourished up. I'm the one that benefits, that get blessed from it. Bible tells us to live for Jesus, live for the Lord. Well, guess what? If I do that, I have victory over sin. I have crowns and treasures that are laid up in heaven. I'm the one that's blessed. Now, I honor God, but God's commandments are an expression of his love for us to be a blessing, not a burden. Real quick, let's go to John. 1 John. 1 John 5, 3. Just one verse. We'll come right back. 1 John 5, 3. Speaking about love, speaking about God's commandments. 1 John 5, 3. You know, I learned so much about my relationship with my Heavenly Father from myself and my dad, my kids with me. You know, like any parent would tell the kids, hey, don't play on the road. You're going to get rolled over. It's for your benefit. This commandment, it's for your blessing. You don't get hit, right? So 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I mean, we love him, keep his commandments, yes, but God expresses his love to us in commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Then God is not the Lord is not a hard man, right? Remember that servant, the fake servant with the one talent? Oh, you're a hard, you know, you're going to be, no matter what I do, I can't satisfy you. You know, God is not that way. God gives us commandments to bless us, not burden us. Now, here's another example. Let's go to Luke. It's the same account as Mark, but let's go back to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Go back to the same account, but this is Luke's account. So let's go to Luke chapter 6. And then verse 12, And this kind of continues where Mark left off. Let's go to Luke 6, verse 12. If you look at verse 11, again, same thing. The Pharisees are filled with madness. You know, they want to kill Jesus. Okay, then verse 12 of the same account in Luke 6 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray," Jesus praying alone to the Father in the mountain, "and continued all night in prayer to God." Now, it got me thinking here, as Jesus prayed all night to God, was he doing this grudgingly? I don't think so. Was Jesus doing this cheerfully? Absolutely. Meaning he was blessed to do it. He was blessed to do it. And Jesus prayed all night, you know. And my friends, do I realize that God made prayer for me to be a blessing? God made prayer for you that you can pray if you want to God as a blessing, not a burden. When we do something that we like, time flies. Think of your hobbies. Before you know it, you know, someone says, "Oh, you can only spend 4 hours in your hobby. Favorite thing that you like to do, only 4 hours." What? Only 4 hours? Where else if it's doing my history? You got to do what? 4 minutes? I can't even do 4 minutes. Okay, and you know, Jacob working for Rachel 7 years just flew by, right? I remember when Gina and I were courting, spoke on the phone. You know, I thought it was just a few minutes or 6 hours. Do my ear. I had to switch ears, right? Because my one ear gets swollen. Hang on. Right there? Okay. And then, you know, 6 hours, maybe 5 hours was actual contact, you know, actual content. Last hour was just saying goodbye, you know, how it goes. You know, but when you're doing something that you like, time flies, right? Time flies. And so how about prayer? What about prayer? It's a blessing. Do I realize what a privilege prayer is? Remember, just to put it in context, the Old Testament saints could never commune with God the way that we can. Now, we have, you know, not to say some exceptions, we have the Moseses. I mean, in fact, there's only one like Moses, right? The rest were in visions and dreams like the prophets. Only one kind of face-to-face. The rest was through visions, was through dreams. You know, certainly Samuel, right? You know, it says, "Samuel, Samuel." I mean, yeah, so you have those instances where God spoke to them. But it was when God wanted. They couldn't just strike up a conversation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you couldn't just, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, you couldn't just chit-chat with God. Even the Old Testament. And that was just the select few prophets. Okay, those specific people. The rest of the commoners, if they wanted to talk to God, you couldn't really do it. Okay? Even King David, you know, they had the Urim and the Thurim. You know, it's quite impersonal. You know, and it's kind of like a magic eight ball to light up. Ding, God says yes, do we pursue? Ding, no, you know, and that was it. Otherwise, God would speak through a prophet, you get rebuked through a prophet, but not in the same way that we can pray today. In fact, when it's so phenomenal because that went all the way up till New Testament Bible times, again, when the high priest just once a year would go in to the Holy of Holies, to the very God's presence on the mercy seat, to the throne room. Now, remember the mercy seat, we can go in Hebrews, come boldly, okay? But Old Testament, New Testament, once a year, the high priest, just one guy, out of the whole nation, just one guy, okay? He gets to go in once a year, make atonement for himself and for the whole nation, and then he comes into the Holy of Holies to the presence of God, just him. Meanwhile, in the background, you have the rest of the priests, and then further back down, you have the courtyard, you have the Jewish people kind of congregated there. And then way in the back, past the vendors, way out the back, you have the court of the Gentiles, where you have the rest of us kind of, you know, shoved to the back there. And that was service. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain, top to the bottom. Now we can all come. We can walk right in. You know, before we used to be, "Hey, you Gentile, you go back there. You're a priest, come forward. High priest, only high priest beyond this point." One of those things. And now we have direct access. We can come boldly because we have the invitation to come to the throne of grace to receive mercy, right? I mean, that is amazing, right there. And so what, you know, imagine just all those high priests before. They see us coming up now, they're like, "Oh, man. Look at these guys." Now they're coming by the thousands, because we can. But if we don't, can you imagine just Aaron, you know, Eleazar, like, "Come on. I used to want to go more often, but I couldn't." In fact, if you did it wrong, you get strike dead. You know, we get the privilege of coming to the throne, and then we don't exercise it because God made prayer for us to be a blessing, not a burden. In fact, do we realize not just the privilege of prayer, but do we realize the necessity of prayer? Look at the context, verse 13. So Jesus prayed all night to God. I can guarantee you, it was a joy for him. It was a necessity for Jesus to do this. He was refreshed by communing with his Father. You know, he puts up with a lot, right? This is getting his batteries recharged. He's getting so blessed, speaking to his Father. Yes, he's tired, but he really wants to speak to his Father. What a testimony. And then the necessity of prayer, Jesus is going to make one of the biggest decisions of all Christianity, choosing the 12, right? The 12 disciples. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. After praying all night to the Father, this is what he's going to do. He's got it now. He's going to do this. And of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. I mean, Jesus knew this, but he did it anyway. This is the will of the Father. But don't forget, my friends, the privilege of prayer, but the absolute necessity of prayer. We need prayer. Prayer attunes our will with God's will through his precious word. You know, when we pray to God, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance scriptures that we've read. And like, oh yeah, you know, I shouldn't, you know. And God uses prayer to comfort us and to affirm things in us. It's a blessing, not a burden. And then number three, God makes hardships to be a blessing, not a burden. Hard for me to say this because I don't like hardships, okay? But I'm just saying what the Bible says, okay? Now notice this. Let's go to verse 17. We'll keep going. And he came down with them, stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, well, everywhere, from the woodwork, they're all coming out. Why are they coming out? Which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Now that's wonderful that they're all seeking Jesus. But notice they're seeking him because of the hardships in their life. Now it's wonderful that they're seeking him, but it's the hardships that draw them to him. For there went virtue out of him, God's goodness, of course the power of God is in holiness, the virtue, and healed them all. Our infirmities draw us to God. As much as I don't like to admit it, that's what the Word of God says, that's what the Bible tells me. Because when things go well for me in my life, just being honest confession here, I tend to kind of drift away, kind of go solo. But when things go hard and rough, well, I go crawling back to my Lord. And so hardships, God allows it, God makes it for us. It's to be a blessing, not a burden. Because we need the Lord. I need the Lord. I shared this verse before, Philippians 3:10. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, plural, being made conformable unto his death. If we want to appreciate Jesus' suffering more, when we suffer, we kind of realize it. Just a little bit. Times that much more. But God makes everything in our life for a purpose. And that purpose, sometimes it might not appear that way, whether it's his commandments, the privilege of prayer, and even our trials and sufferings are to be a blessing, not a burden. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of prayer. Father, thank you that we have this time now that we can set aside to praise you and to lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give us. It's an expression of your love, that these are not grievous commandments. They're not given to us to just, you know, just bog us down or to burden them. They are given to us to bless us, to encourage us, to build us up, Lord, to keep us safe, to keep us holy, to reward us. And so help us to obey, Lord. And Father, we are just so thankful. We ask, Lord, your blessing again on those with just different infirmities and hardships and trials. But Father, may your will be done. And Father, may we always be so thankful that you're showering us with blessings. A woe on me when I just think of it as a burden. Thank you, Lord, for church, for your word, for prayer, for the privilege to represent you as an ambassador, to witness of you. That's a privilege, not a burden. And so, Father, we just give you all the praise, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Just a couple